Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I hope Jared Stidham works, but there's not even a buzz about it. Belichick wanted Brady back. I don't buy it. I want to see it. And by the way, I could argue they have the worst weapons in the league. He's going to elevate those. I don't buy it. And I hope the kid works. I mean, you don't want to see New England be unwatchable. They already have a conservative system. A conservative system, no weapons, and a bad quarterback is terrible football. I love Belichick, the best coach I've ever seen. But when insiders start telling me about somebody and there's no buzz all these years in, a guy that played in the SEC against Alabama, and I think he, one of the years he beat Alabama, and he got drafted in the fourth round, and we were like, yeah, that's about where he is. Maybe he's the world's latest bloomer at quarterback.
That, of course, is Colin Cowherd. Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. Colin Cowherd is really tying himself to the take that the Patriots are tanking, isn't he? All of his discussion points about the Patriots are now going to have to be.
It's regurgitated all in. They're not going to be good.
They suck.
He's going to die.
It has to be his thing now. He's not going to give up on that. So everything about the Patriots with him is going to suck now for the time being because he thinks they're tanking and, you know, he's sticking to that idea. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports the Patriots considered signing Clay Matthews. According to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, there was league-wide buzz prior to the draft that the Patriots considered signing edge rusher Clay Matthews, but the buzz died down after New England traded up to draft Michigan edge rusher Josh Uche at number 60 overall. Uche seems like a great fit in New England, where he'll join fellow Wolverine Chase Winovich in a Patriots defense that he studied extensively at Michigan.
So it's about replacing production here. And our guy, Phil Perry, who we have in during the football season on Fridays, did a nice breakdown on this, that the Patriots rushed the quarterback more than any other team with the combinations of Hightower and Van Noy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you lose a guy like Van Noy, and, okay, you insert Winovich, this makes sense that, okay, if we want to replace that, let's go get an experienced guy and a guy like Clay Matthews that could get upfield and sort of combo it with Winovich. And we can't get him, you go up and you get Uche. So replace one with the other.
Sorry. Right. So they were either looking to use a high draft pick or get Clay Matthews in free agency is what they were looking to do to try and replace something that
That's
they feel
plan.
They lost this offseason. They were trying to replace something they had last season and have it ready to go again this season, as you just described, Zoe. That's not a team that is tanking.
That's a plan.
that's a plan?
I don't know why. Why are people so stuck on this tank thing?
Because they're stupid. That's why. Idiots.
Hey, I'm telling you, they're doing something over there, man. And for people I talk to, Stidham's the guy, and they're getting him ready. They're getting him ready. We'll leave it at that.
The hair dryer, vacuum, Hardy's hot tub. What do we got going on?
She's drying her hair in there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't tell it. Just let it be.
Yeah. That's what happens working home, you know?
Small house. You only got the one bathroom.
Hey, hon, can you shut the door for a second? Thank you. She says hi, guys. Oh, she looks pretty.
Hi, Annie.
Where's she going? She don't want to come on TV.
All right, then. 617-779-0985. That's a plan, people. That is a plan, trying to directly replace something they had last year. So you got to stop it with this they could be tanking thing. Colin, you got to knock that off. You can't just go down that road.
He's got to be the different guy, right?
He's take tied is what he is.
Yes. Tanking for tank for Trevor.
Yes.
You know what? If they're doing that, I don't want to do any games this year.
Coward is take time right now. Everything he has to say about the Patriots is they suck to support his previous take.
They actually like the fact that everybody's talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, that's going to be the story, huh? That's what everybody's watching. Good. We have a pretty good story here.
Okay.
They feel confident in what they're doing, so go ahead.
We've done some of the pick threes over the last, month, 2 months?
Yeah, we've done food-based ones. We've done condiments. We've done sandwiches.
I don't think I've had a lot of difficulty in picking three in any of these, whether it be albums, the ones that Hardy
the
sent
potatoes.
Out.
Like, the potatoes were tough.
Yeah.
The French fries.
Who put the smiley face thing in there?
Hardy, in that, like, you pick three and you're like, oh, there's one or two others that I really struggled. I like those two. The Patriots have put out a pick three on their social media channels. It's pick three Patriots playoff edition. For a Patriots fan, this is pure torture. This is what this is.
This is easy.
It's easy?
I think it's easy.
How is this easy? How in the world could you call this easy?
Well, I'll tell you how it can be easy is its process of elimination. It's like anything else, and there's a few that you can weed out right away.
So it's hard because they're trying, I guess, to narrow it down, and they do mention individual plays. So it's not necessarily the games themselves, but the plays themselves. And this is what they've got. 1 through 9. Vinatieri's 0-1 divisional kick. And I've got a problem with number one already on this
list. So we're doing the plays and not the outcome of
it's
the game?
It's the play.
Well, it's the plays. It's the plays, but I'll tell you where there's some inconsistency. Number one, they use the wrong photo. If you want to say, which was the better kick, though? The kick from
the
45 yards to tie it or the one
the
to win
one.
It?
The first one.
Right.
Listen to Belichick talk about the first one.
And the picture here is of the winner. You can tell the game is over. They're lifting him up.
Yeah.
They posted a picture of the game winner. I know I'm right. if you want the game-tying kick is so much tougher, that's the kick.
And that's the kick. You're right. That was the kick.
The kick to tie it was the kick. And so this is a problem for me already because if I can just say the kicks in the divisional game, that's on my list. That is on my list of three because if you look over to number three, it's Ty Law's three picks against Peyton Manning in the 03 AFC Championship game. They use all three picks.
Yeah, that's confusing. This is confusion. So it's got to be I think we roll with just the outcome of the game, like how big the game's outcome was, right?
Okay, so here's the thing, Beetle.
But they're narrowing it down to plays.
They show a picture, but it doesn't say that it was the game-winning kick. So I will allow you, and more importantly, me, to think of it as the game-tying kick because I really want number one as one of my three.
Yes, so thank you. Let's have that on the list. Here is the full list, by the way. Vinatieri's 0-1 divisional kicks. We'll make that a plural for them.
Right.
Brown, Harris in the AFC title game a week later, the scoop and score. Third one is Ty Law's three picks against Manning in the AFC title game. Then they have Brewski's 0-4 divisional round fumble recovery. They've got Harrison's interception return in 0-4 in the AFC title game. They've got Troy Brown's divisional force fumble against San Diego in 06, which is freaking massive. It gets lost because they didn't win the Super Bowl that year, but that was a great game out there. Great comeback for the Pats. Edelman's double pass against the Ravens in 14 in the divisional round. Amendola in 17 with a touchdown grab in the back of the end zone in the AFC title game. And Burkhead with his touchdown against Kansas City in the AFC title game in 2018. So Zoe said it's easy. What are your three easy picks, my friend? Because this is brutal.
My first one is Ty Law's game against Peyton because that was your mortal enemy. The Indianapolis Colts and Peyton Manning and Bill Polian and everything they stood for in that dome team, they came here and you baited him into throwing three picks. That was a brilliant defensive scheme that day. Yeah, you advanced there. gets you to another championship. Edelman's double pass, because that was dire. You were down 14 twice. You came back to fight to get back in that game to give you a chance to get this Super Bowl. And I've never felt the stadium shake the way it shook on that pass. And the last one for me is the win in Kansas City. You know, you went into Kansas City in sub-zero conditions, couldn't hear the focus, the attention to detail in that game, and the stress to get to another Super Bowl. That was huge. So I go Ty Laws, I go Edelman's, and I go the title game against Kansas City, in Kansas City. Pittsburgh almost went with the
Burkhead's touchdown in Kansas City.
Not necessarily. I don't look at it like that, because I'm looking at Ty's, you know, the defensive scheme in that game.
Well,
what are we going to do?
We're not picking games. We're picking plays. We're picking plays, and that's why I don't have Edelman's double pass in there.
I do. The double pass is in for me.
But the problem here's the problem. The double pass was huge. The double pass was huge. Is it bigger than Ty Law's three picks in 03?
No, that's why I'm going 1-3-7.
Okay. I'm going 1-3-8. I'm the only one picking Amendola's touchdown catch in the AFC Championship in 17. Because that was the game against the Jaguars. You're trailing. You could have very easily lost that game.
See, snow game to me is a fumble. That's a fumble. Like, you got one on him.
That's not even part of the equation. You're talking about the forward pass?
Yeah, tuck roll. That's a fumble.
Oh.
That's a fumble.
You talk to him. I don't know. He's doing something else now. We're doing this.
I'm not even sure what it is you're doing.
By the way, it was not a fumble. So you're saying they shouldn't have won that game. Okay, well, you know what?
Wait, they shouldn't have won that game. Wait a minute. Are we going to have a debate about the tuck rule today? I will gladly have this with you. That was the correct application of a bad rule. They changed the rule because it was a bad rule.
But
you think they should not have won the
game?
You think they got it wrong?
Well, you talk to the quarterback. He's looking left. They jump the route. He pulls the ball back in. It's not even in the act of throwing. And he gets blindsided from the right side on a blitz.
Okay.
That's a fumble.
I'm not talking about what it looks like. Of course it looks like a fumble. Your built-in football mind would say, oh, that looks like a fumble. But did the refs get it wrong?
No.
Okay, then. So what's
Plus,
the point?
Plus, if you want to dismiss Vinatieri's kicks in that game because you think it was a fumble, then they lose the game, and we're not having this conversation.
Which kick are we going
with? I don't know what you're doing. You're probably selling insurance somewhere, and a lot of us are doing something else. Forget about having this conversation.
Club seats.
10-year commitment, first and last year of payment due on site. Yep.
We don't have these jobs, much less having this conversation, if you're willing to dismiss Vinatieri's kicks in that game because
they lose that game. None of this happens. That first kick.
CMGI may still be a company if none of it. I have no idea.
If you're going to group Ty Law's three interceptions, can't you group the two kicks from Vinatieri?
Yes, that was my point, because number three is not consistent with number one, which it's only fair that you get to count
this is mass
either both kicks or the correct kick, or someone screwed up and didn't put the right picture on the graphic. That's
so Rodney's pick six against the Steelers, that one iced the game. That should be in there then, if we're going by certain plays.
Well, no,
Bruschi's fumble
we're
recovery.
Not. Okay. You don't get to change the choices. Your choices.
No, that's in there. Harrison is number five. That's in there.
Sorry.
So now you get to, you're allowed to pick that, but at least now you're following the exercise, so.
So then I would go. So then I would go. Vinatieri's kicks, the Harrison pick six, and Edelman.
Right, and we just got a tweet. What about Troy Brown's game saving, forced fumble? Yeah, that's on the list, number six. But I so badly want to put that on the list, but I just have more important plays. This is why this exercise is hell for a Patriots fan that enjoyed every single one of these nine things.
See, the problem was you came up short that next week in Indianapolis.
I know, which is why like the double pass gets more credit from me, because it was so important. It was full-blown desperation at that point in the game, and you know they ended up winning that year.
Yeah, what did it ultimately mean? Right.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Please join us if you have thoughts on picking three moments in Patriots playoff history out of the nine that you were offered by the Patriots in that graphic. 617-779-0985. Again, is that number. We've got more football to talk this hour, including the possibility of Russell Wilson once upon a time being traded. Yeah, that story's out there the last 24 hours. We'll get to it next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Sports. Springfield.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Boy, is it nice out.
Yeah, you go out, check it out.
No, I'm looking out the window.
Oh. Nice.
Humid.
Looks like a nice day out there. 617-779-0985. Russell Wilson was almost traded, or at least the, let's put it this way. The Seahawks explored trading Russell Wilson to the Cleveland Browns. Doesn't sound like the Cleveland Browns jumped at the opportunity, but this happened before Russell Wilson signed his contract extension, and they did have a discussion. The Browns reportedly offered the number one pick, is how some reports have it. Others yeah. say that they called and inquired about the number one pick, and this is sort of a big detail. I don't know which way that went.
It's a massive detail. It is the detail of the discussion, right? Because you're yeah. trading a bona fide franchise quarterback who's going to sign a massive deal soon. So you need
Browns
to make
say,
that commitment.
Yeah, according to Pro Football Talk, the Browns contend the trade was discussed conceptually, but acknowledged privately that the discussion did indeed happen. The inclusion of a no-trade clause in Wilson's eventual big-money extension, which he's on now, in fact, stemmed in part from chatter regarding the potential trade to Cleveland. That's according to Mike Florio. And so they ended up using that number one pick Cleveland did on Baker Mayfield. And Seattle was coming off their first season of not making the playoffs. They had gone six straight years in the playoffs, and then they missed the playoffs. And that was the, I think it's the only time in Russell Wilson's career that he did not make the playoffs. And I'm guessing that, again, as Sims said that it was Cleveland saying, we'll give you the number one pick for him. I'm guessing that Seattle looked into that a little more than we're getting the story right now. And I don't blame them. In fact, I bet that they were trying to guard against the possibility of Russell Wilson not re-signing there, of Russell Wilson asking for a trade, of Russell Wilson holding out and trying to go elsewhere. And if they had real fears about that, well, good for them for checking in on the possibility right. of moving him and not letting him just, you know, hold them hostage. What's wrong with that? All they did was they didn't end up trading him. They didn't do it. They just explored it.
They knew Russ wanted big money, and he's in a unique situation because of who he's married to. He's married to Sierra. Humpy Humps, right? And there was rumors at that time. I remember
Humpy
I talked
Humps?
To somebody. That's
Wait,
a
why
song
do you call her Humpy Humps?
My Humpy Humpy Humps.
That's not her. That's,
pardon me?
That's not her. That's Fergie.
My
Fergie
bad.
Fergie has that one. He's
My bad.
Married.
Josh
He's married.
right? He's, Fergie is.
Ashanti yeah. is who he's married to, right? Right. Okay. Sorry.
Who? Sierra's Wilson. Married to Russell
oh,
Wilson.
Oh, Sierra. Sorry, Ashanti.
Yeah.
Sierra. I get
At least I got the name right. Jesus.
Yeah, I get all this.
But there was rumors she wanted to live in New York, and they were trying to expedite a trade to the Jets, potentially, because this is prior to Sam Darnold. And, you know, maybe we could get a quarterback there. And this is the perfect timing where the legion right. of Legion of Boom defense was being dismantled, right?
Right.
You know, you look at Earl Thomas, the money, the broken leg, Chancellor, Cliff Averill, all these guys are leaving. Sherm was gone by that point. Brandon Browner was long gone. All these guys were gone, and the money was going to end up shifting to offense. Seattle saw that coming. They knew Russ is a franchise guy. He was going to command north of 30, and they were going to have to pay him, which they did, and which they probably should have done. But there was a mobile young quarterback that they could have had for 5 years if they drafted him in the first round locked
right,
up, and it would have been Baker Mayfield.
They were talking big money with this guy, and he wasn't accepting.
Right.
And so if that started to sort of, you know, breed some fear within the Seattle organization, I don't blame them for at least looking at what came their way or who was willing to talk about the possibility. They didn't end up doing it. They ended up getting the deal done eventually, and that's good for them and the long-term success of their team. But I feel like Seattle has been getting killed here over the last, you know, half a day.
Yeah,
you talked about trading Russell Wilson. What are you, stupid? Well,
it's
not
from a roster building standpoint if you're not going to contend. You know?
It's not based on the fact that they don't like him or they don't think he's good. I think if it was based out of fear that he didn't want to play for them, then I get it. So I don't blame them for that, for at least discussing it. They ended up getting what is the best possible scenario, which is him staying there.
Yeah, I got a buddy. I had a buddy who's tied into the Jets, and he's like, dude, there's rumors Russ is coming here because his wife wants to live in New York and he wants to help out her career.
Now, I would have never drafted him. Short quarterbacks, I don't do that. But it's turned out to be one of the – he's the best short quarterback ever. In my opinion.
Yeah, he and Breeze, yeah.
Yeah, he's shorter than Breeze, isn't he?
Not much, right?
I think he is.
He's not 5'11".
Let's see. Well, I in my mind, he's shorter than Breeze.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 5'11".
Wow.
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I bet if you put them side by side, that Drew Breeze is a little bit taller because he's listed at 6 feet. They've got a difference of an inch there. So, just based on the height alone, shortest guy, yep, best short quarterback ever is Russell Wilson. I don't kill Seattle for at least looking into it. I'm glad they didn't, because that would be terrible for them.
Yeah.
Imagine Cleveland getting Russell Wilson and just making that guy a loser, because everyone's a loser in Cleveland. Everybody. How would Pete Carroll deal with Baker Mayfield? What do you think? When
Baker Mayfield acts
like a dick. What would he say?
I like that. He probably likes some of that, man. We're crazy here. We got a loosey-goosey feeling in our locker room, man. You do more of that stuff. Take that flag. We beat San Francisco. Go get their flag and stick it right in the middle. Yeah. Okay? I'm going to get on top of the lockers. I'm going to do this. Woo! Who wants a game ball? Come on. You get the game ball that day. Yeah.
So you talked to Pete at all lately?
I have not. We should get him on the show.
We should.
All right. Well,
he loves you.
Yeah, we work on that.
You guys are like kindred spirits, you two.
Hardy, you're into the Doors. Like, we can talk music with him, surfing and music. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Pete Carroll would have been into any number of scenarios where he could have guys in there who are a little bit off, you know, kind of cater to his unique personality.
Yeah, Zoe fits that bill perfectly. It's why he loves him so much.
Right. I remember they were here. They were here, what was that, 2 years ago when they played here?
Was it
2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
When they won. Like, when Patriots didn't score on the 1 yard line. We're after the game, I went in to see him. You gotta come in. You gotta check out this chest, man. We got this big trunk we built. We got two speakers in here. We got DJ. And I'm like, Pete, what the hell goes like in the pregame? All you can hear is music bumping in postgame. Yeah. We take it on the road with us everywhere. There's a big fight over the musical. Yeah. Pete.
Does he have a nickname for you? What's he call you?
It was Z-Man.
Z-Man.
Yeah.
Hey, Z-Man.
Yeah. So, Z-Man. Yeah.
It's so good.
Did you change that play? Did you change that play? Yeah, I did. Okay, make sure you hit it when you change it, all right?
Oh, you just decided to do whatever you want to do? All right, man, just make sure it's good.
Yeah, you better make it work.
Real disciplinarian.
Jeff, throw.
Jeff in New Hampshire. Hey, Jeff, you got a pick three for the Pats?
Yeah, so on the list was missing two, the Edelman fingertip catch from 51 that needed to be on there. And
that's
one
a good
of my
point.
No, that's a Super Bowl.
But it's it's
playoff.
Yeah, but there's no other Super Bowl plays. They left it to just playoff games, not Super Bowls.
But one of my other favorites was the Statue of Liberty play, the divisional round of 07, Brady just turning his back to the defense with his hand up in the air and then turning around and throwing a dime. That was just perfection and kind of exemplified that season, except for, of course,
Except we just don't talk about that.
But on the list, I have to go with the Troy Brown strip fumble. I have to go with the number one, the kicks, and the Ty Law three picks.
That's a good three. If I had to rank them, I'd have maybe Troy Brown number four on the list. Such an important play in a great game. So, yeah, don't blame me for picking that. 617-779-0985. We'll get to more of those calls. The NFL has told their teams, keep your facilities closed. We're not there yet. We'll tell you about that, and we'll get back at it after headlines. Here's Hardy.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves ships a day, lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works playing whiskey.
All right, update from the NFL. They're telling their teams that their facilities cannot open. They're to remain closed. Ian Rappaport said the NFL sent a memo to team presidents and top officials. This happened, two nights ago that it was sent? And it emphasized that facilities will remain closed and there is no date set for reopening, that there could be more info coming this week. So memo is out. Even though there are states that are open, the NFL is telling them that all of their facilities will remain closed. Let me read directly from the memo. To be clear, club facilities remain closed and no date has been set for the reopening. Before facilities can reopen, the three criteria identified above must be satisfied. We expect to provide additional guidance later this week regarding when facilities may reopen, the number of people that may return to work, and related matters. The three criteria, if you're wondering, is that the reopening must be consistent with sound medical and public health guidance, as reflected in the protocols, that reopening is permitted under current government regulations, and that three, the reopening occurs in a way that respects the principles of competitive equity. That third one is important because there will be states that continue to open, and then there will be states that do not open. And in the competitive balance department, if teams have to pick up their operation and move to a different state to be able to open, that's going to keep NFL facilities closed for some time. So that's something to consider. By the way, they have a doctor who's scheduled a training program, Dr. Sills. There will be
Steven Sills?
I don't know. Maybe, as far as I know. Dr. Sills is Sills, not Stills, by the way. There's a training program.
Yeah, Steven Stills did it in conjunction with his good friend Dan Shaughnessy. It includes a 1 mile run every day, followed by three fingers of old granddad.
And actually, you drink and then you run the next day to sweat out whatever it is you were drinking the day before.
Right, just keeps everything flowing.
Dr. Sills has scheduled a training program for club infection control officers. Remember how we talked about Houston having one of those? Hiring
the
hygiene coach. I'm guessing everyone's had to name a infection control officer now. That happens next Monday. Any club that wishes to reopen its facility will need to ensure that its infection control officer has completed the training program.
We should get one on our building when we return. One of the big sinks, we gotta get in there, like we're going in for surgery, sterilize.
We look forward to providing additional guidance to all clubs shortly. If you have questions, reach out, and they list all the people. Pash, Vincent, Dr. Sills, Dr. Scholes, whoever it is you want to talk to, whatever doctor you can track down.
Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew. Right.
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. whoever that might be, give them a call and get it figured out. But it could be a while, though. Even with some stuff opening up, it might be some time before the NFL is able to bring in guys to have a meeting. There are already guys that are going there for rehab purposes and things of that nature, but before they can have a meeting, it's already May 15th.
Yeah, it's like you said, Beetle, it's that 1-2 punch of, well, number one, no date has been set. So, this wasn't like we're putting it off until this time. No, and it's got to be consistent everywhere so right. You don't get that competitive advantage. And those are the two things that really put it up in the air.
Harry is in the car, a little bit off topic, actually very much off topic. But Harry, what do you got for us today?
Well, I heard you had said Tom Watson passed away.
Bob Watson, yes.
Bob Watson, what a baseball player. He could play. He was an athlete. He could have played football too. But he hit the ball. Him and Richie Allen. I don't think no one ever hit the ball as hard as those two guys did. But I can remember him. He was on the '86 Sox, and him and Jim Rice were ready to celebrate the World Series victory in the top of the bottom of the ninth, and the thing just fell apart. I felt sorry for him, but a great general manager too. Just a good athlete, good smart baseball guy. And I wanted to know, Beetle, is he in the Hall of Fame?
I don't believe he is, but Bob Watson was not on the '86 Sox.
I thought, which team was he on? He was on one of those teams.
He played for the Red Sox in 79.
Oh, that's what it was, 79 team. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Impossible dream team, right?
No.
What year was that?
67. 1967. Jesus. Holy crap.
You love your Red Sox, don't you?
I'm good. 95 on.
Like just one year on the Sox in 79. Most of his career with the Astros. They're the ones who made the announcement.
I'm wondering if he's confusing him with someone else that was on that. I mean, I don't know who it may have been. Maybe it was Henderson. I don't know who he's thinking of.
Here's something.
Dave Henderson had the big home run that year in Anaheim. I don't know. I don't know which. Maybe he's confusing him with somebody else. But I did want to bring up Bob Watson today because I think he had been mentioned in headlines as having passed away.
Yes.
74 years old. And by all accounts, I'm obviously not old enough to remember him as a player. But many of you are and believe, he was a good player. I think he hit close to 300 for his career. And I will tell you that for my generation, what I remember Bob Watson for, and by all accounts, he was a great human being, so don't take this the wrong way. I'm always going to remember Bob Watson for all the back and forth between the Red Sox and Bob Watson in the league office. And Pedro, in the early 2000s, when Bob Watson had just come on as the disciplinarian for the league, accusing Bob Watson of trying to get him to admit that he did not hit, I think it was Ben Grieve with the Athletics, that he didn't hit him on purpose. And Pedro came out and publicly blasted him and said, "This guy's trying to make me tell you guys that I didn't hit him on purpose. I did hit him on purpose." and I will remember Bob Watson for being very tough on disciplinary issues. I felt like he always had it out for the Red Sox. It's probably just the Red Sox fan in me. And I think Bob Watson was the guy that ushered in the nonsense we have in the game now of warnings. And warnings right away when you brush a guy back off the plate. He is largely responsible for the way guys get warned if they even come close to hitting a guy. And then warnings are issued to both benches. And it's a mess now. You can't hit anybody anymore. The beanball era died when Bob Watson came to power in the league office. So that's what I remember. I also remember him.
Hell of a eulogy so far, Beetle.
Anything I also
else you
remember
want to crap
him.
On the guy about?
No, I'm not crapping on him. I'm just saying.
Yeah, a little bit you are.
He had a major impact on the sport. And by the way, he was a great executive with the Yankees when they won in 96. But he had a lasting impact on the sport that should be talked about. I mean, what other time we're going to talk about Bob Watson?
Okay, well,
here's the other thing. He was the guy who got it. This is a funny thing. He was the guy that got into it with Terry Francona over wearing his fleece. And remember they had the league come and check Terry Francona in his uniform?
Oh, my God.
During a game? Do you remember that?
Yep.
That was Bob Watson doing.
Terry would wear that red fleece instead of his uniform. Yep.
And then they invented the Terry Francona rule just for Francona because he had all those health problems and circulatory issues. And he's like, listen, I always feel cold. I need to wear this thing. And Watson cracked down on him not wearing his number 47 game jersey.
Oh my God.
Yes, he came after Francona. That was later. That was probably like 08 or 09 or something, right towards the end of Francona. But still, I'm not trying to crap on him. I just think Bob Watson did have a lasting impact on the game of baseball as a player, as a front office guy, starting the Yankees dynasty of the late 90s, and also as a league executive as well. He had a lot to do with Major League Baseball.
Well, the most fun Bob Watson story that I learned today after reading about him after his death, and Shaughnessy would have been all over this. Shaughnessy probably knows this by heart. Is that he gets credit for scoring the 1,000,000th run in Major League history. Now, you think that we get inundated with silly marketing stuff now. This was in 1975 on May 4th, and it was a big buildup for Major League Baseball. And they knew all around the league as games were being played that they were one run shy of 1,000,000, and there was a big sponsorship deal involved. So, Bob Watson is on second base, and Milt May hits a home run at Candlestick. Watson runs at full speed to get to home plate. He did it in just 4 seconds before Dave Concepcion, because he had just homered in Cincinnati and was also racing around the base paths. They knew that Major League Baseball was monitoring who was going to score the 1,000,000th run. So why does he care? Because Bob Watson won $10,000 and 1,000,000 Tootsie Rolls for scoring the 1,000,000th run in Major League Baseball history. And again, this isn't some silliness that baseball came up with in the pulse steroid era to generate fan interest. This was 45 years ago, May 4th, 1975, when Bob Watson did that and raced home from second base on a home run shot. There was no, you didn't have to get there. You didn't have to beat the throw, but he knew that somewhere else in the league, somebody might be crossing home plate at any moment, and he wanted to get there first to win that 10 grand and to win the 1,000,000 Tootsie Rolls.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool,
That's
isn't
a
it?
Great story. That's terrific. That is funny. It also should be mentioned with Watson that he broke the color barrier when it comes to GMs in the game. He was the first black GM in all of baseball. And that's not exactly a diverse department when it comes to baseball and who they hire for front office executives. So he had a lot. He spent a life in baseball is what he did. And he had kidney issues for years. And both of his kids offered him a kidney, and he told both of them no. He said, no way. And so baseball has lost someone who had a life in the game. Bob Watson, who passed away at 74. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We'll get back to it with your calls coming up right after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Yacht Rock Friday here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. Patriots preseason days, times have been announced. All Thursday preseason games. August 13th, 20th, 27th, and September 3rd. Lions, Panthers, Eagles, Giants. We already knew that. Now we just know that they're all on Thursday nights at 7:30, except for the last one, which is at 7 p.m.
Yeah, get that thing over early. That awful fourth one at Giants. Oh, God.
Yep. Anyway, the first one is against the Detroit Lions, and there's been a story out there today about, the quarterback of the Lions selling his home.
Uh-oh.
Now, we know what that turned into here in New England. Quarterback puts the home up for sale. Quarterback leaves the team. Could the same be true in Detroit, Hardy?
No. Not to throw water on this right away, but today, Kelly Stafford, Matthew Stafford's wife, posted on Instagram that they are selling the house to get away from the water. I don't know if you guys have looked at the photos of the house.
It's a $6.5 million home.
And, it's nice.
Oh, my God. $6.5 million will buy you quite a bit. And Bloomfield Township is really nice. That's a nice section of suburban Detroit. But let's just say it gets you more than, let's say, $6.5 million would get you in Chestnut Hill.
Yeah.
It's a really nice house.
It's very nice. I don't love the exterior architecture of it all. It's very modern, which is, not what I'm into. So, they want to get off the water there is what the story is from the wife, huh?
Yeah, and she said that they've got how many kids do they have already? They got a ton of kids, these two.
They have four kids that are like three or under.
Yes, and
they got like four little kids.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's like the Bertrand household.
Hell.
She said, no speculation needed. We're about to have our fourth child, and I personally do not want to live on a lake or have a pool with four children under the age of a little over three.
By fence.
So that would mean they will then have four kids that are like three or under.
Yeah.
So this is the reason that it's on the market. It makes us super sad to sell our home. That house has been incredible. We'll never have another house like it. Why not? Just build another one near the water if that's what you're looking for.
When you're not making $20 million this year?
Dude, guys, flush with cash. What are you talking about, lady?
But just so you know, though.
Dumb.
If she wanted that exact same house, she could build it two blocks over and have it done next year. What is she talking about?
Yeah.
It's dumb,
but to be fair, I mean, and because Zoe said, just put a fence up. If you look at the pictures, this is a huge, they've got a lot of waterfront on this property, not to mention, according to the listing, the state's largest infinity pool. So they have a huge pool. They have got all this waterfront. And what are you going to spend all your time chasing around the kids? Make sure, don't go in the pool. Don't go near the pool. Don't go near the pool. Don't go outside. Don't go outside. What's the point of having all that lakefront property if you're going to build a 6-foot barrier between you and the water?
Yeah, there's not a lot of real estate between the sliding glass doors to the edge of the pool. We're talking 6 or 7 feet. The pool is like built into the home, the way it's designed.
Yeah, great house, but with four little kids, constant stress. That's all that is. I couldn't imagine. Couldn't imagine what it would be like having little kids around all that water all the time. So there you go. There's $6.5 million will buy you in Bloomfield Township, Michigan right now.
Yeah, the home is surrounded by water, like basically on three sides. It's on a peninsula. So
Upper Long Lake, yes.
Yeah, a lot of water. A lot of water there. Nice home. Very modern.
You look at that map, Beetle, right? You looking at the map right now?
No, I was looking at the photos of the home.
Okay, well, you go as you – if you type in 1867 Long Point Drive and pull up the map and then zoom out, and you go about, 6 miles to the east, you'll see my hometown, Troy, Michigan, and then you'll see
– I'm sure you had a similar home growing up.
Yeah.
How about, did you guys see the
scary how close it is. I'm like, oh my God.
Did you guys see the indoor basketball court in this home?
Oh, yes. Well, and here's the funny part.
Did someone else own this home before he bought it? Was it a Pistons player? Because he has a indoor basketball court and with a Detroit Pistons logo on it. And I'm curious to know if someone lived there before he did.
Well, it's the floor. The court is taken from the court from the old court in the Silver Dome. And if you look just a couple miles to the north, he's way closer to Pontiac, Michigan than he is to my hometown of Troy, Michigan. And let me tell you something.
The floor itself is from the Silverdome?
From the Silverdome.
Where'd you find that information? Was that in the listing? Oh, here it is. Original Silverdome Pistons floor. Where the hell did he get that?
I reckon from the Silverdome that the damn thing was open to the elements for about 3 years before they finally sold it to the Scientologists or whoever they sold it to. So he probably just went over there with a couple of pickups and loaded it up. There's a free-for-all over there.
But you had something. Were you saying something else?
Oh, no. Just in terms of it's funny. If you did the same thing with a map of Boston, you would see, like, really nice neighborhoods and how close they are to not-so-nice neighborhoods. Same thing with downtown Pontiac. I mean, you go into certain neighborhoods of Pontiac, which he is not too far from this neighborhood, and head on a swivel. And there's a rough area over there. He used to deliver pizzas into those neighborhoods.
Cut. And pepperoni, sausage,
cheese.
Yeah. Joanne from his pizza and deli. We had a live. We had a large delivery
Hawaiian
range.
How did the Hawaiian pizza sell in Michigan?
Not well.
Yeah. That seemed like a pineapple connoisseur.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.